In studio with us today, Alan Levine. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
That is correct.
Wonderful. He's a candidate for State Representative District 15, and he is here to help familiarize us with himself and his campaign. And we're going to begin by allowing you to make some statements about yourself.
Thank you. When I first came to America in 1970, seeking to manufacture a product I had patented in England as a teenager, I came here because the United States was the global manufacturer. Nowadays, I would have gone to China. That's the problem. When I first came to America in 1970, I was looking for America based on what I had read, seen at the movies, and on TV. I never found it, as I always lived in large cities. Then I moved to Cartersville and was pleasantly surprised that I had finally found America, and it was Cartersville. We live in a wonderful community. As a citizen of Cartersville, I'll be proud to represent you as your state representative, so please vote in the May 22nd primary, as it will determine who wins in November, not the general election.
Okay. Can you tell me, you have opposition on the May 22nd ballot.
Uh-huh.
Will you tell our listeners what separates you from your opposition?
Well, I'm not here to talk about my opposition as such. That's his job. However, what I would like to say is that I'm in the IT business. I've been in the information technology business for about 30 years. And when I am hired to solve a problem, I solve a problem. I don't talk about it. My job is that when I go and see a customer and they say to me, here's the problem, how do we fix it and go ahead, they expect me to fix it really quickly. So I'm really, really, really good at solving problems. And I have found many, both on a national level and a state level, and I'm going to focus on the state level at the moment, because we have problems and they need solutions, and I provide solutions. I also speak the truth, which is very rare for a politician, and the public will find out what the problems are and how they can be solved, because that's just my nature if I'm elected.
Okay. And if you will, tell me, what do you see as the biggest priorities if you're elected? What would you tackle first?
Well, there's a number of things that I'd like to do, and as the May 22nd primary would determine who's going to win in November. Whoever wins that, hopefully me, will have 7 or 8 months to actually do the research necessary to work on those particular problems. But here are the problems, and I have a number. I want to bring back manufacturing from China. I cannot do it on a national level, but I can certainly do it on a state level by using the tax code, the Georgia tax code, to provide incentives for companies to manufacture in Georgia and not in other states. I have a method to stop illegal immigration, particularly in Georgia. It's simple. It does not need a wall, which is apparently will cost $45 billion, which is $45,000 million, a lot of money, which will not stop anybody. It's pure political theater. But there is a very inexpensive solution for very little money. I recognize that parents in Georgia, as well as across the country, are very concerned about for the safety of their children. And there's been much debate about having teachers having guns in the classroom. That is an idea, and I do support the Second Amendment, and I'm friends with the NRA, but there's another solution that's very inexpensive and probably more effective. And that solution is to install one-way exit doors on every ground floor classroom in Georgia and emergency escape ladders in every second floor classroom. Most of the schools are single level. The idea being is that somebody comes into the school with a rifle planning on killing children, then the alarm will go off and the children in every classroom will run for it. They won't be trapped in a classroom trying to barricade the doors, hoping that the shooter won't get in. They'll just be able to run out and they'll be safe. I want to fix property rights laws. I have a strong belief in the rights of property owners, and I think they're being not being served. There's a lot of detail that you can find on my website. I want to do something really unusual, but I think that we need it, which is I want to end primaries in Georgia because they are not necessary. They're not part of the Constitution. They were invented in the late 19th century as a way to weed out candidates that the political parties did not want to run in the general election. And as I've mentioned, because there's only two candidates for this primary, the winning candidate will automatically win in November. You may have noticed that when you do vote, you'll often find a particular position with a single candidate and not multiple candidates. That's because of the primaries, and it's all wrong, and I aim to fix it if I can and use a system which I call cascading voting, which has been actually used under another name, called instant runoff, and is a very effective way to have a single election which will solve many of the political problems we have in this country. If you want me to describe it in more detail, I shall, or I should just let you get a word in edgeways.
Well, we have limited time, so
But you can go to the website and you can look at what I have in mind.
Okay. Well, I want to, one of the items you touched on as a priority was guns in the NRA, and that is a hot topic right now. So would you support any additional gun legislation? And I can't tell you what that would be, but I know one item or one issue is stopping bump stocks, which I think makes guns shoot faster and more automatic. So what are your thoughts on gun legislation? Are you happy with the way things are? Would you like to see some changes?
I do not have any problems with the Second Amendment that people can own rifles and pistols. The only concern I have about the ownership of guns is the way they're used. You can have, in my opinion, anything you want in your home to defend yourself, but if you go outside of your home and you start waving guns in people's faces, then I do have to take exception to that. We have laws to take care of that, but just the ownership of an inanimate object doesn't concern me at all, which is why I support the NRA's position that there's no reason to affect any additional legislation. Now, I'm from London, England, and something that you don't know is that London's murder rate, where they have banned guns, is now higher than New York's. So if somebody's out to create mayhem and guns are banned, the people who want to commit crimes will move on to knives and anything else that they can use to commit lethal injuries. But the mere possession of guns for protection, I don't really have a problem with.
Okay. I want to move to marijuana legislation. I think that medical marijuana is legal in the state, but it's limited as to who can receive it. Would you like to see those laws expanded? And then also, you may be familiar with the situation that occurred here in Cartersville in January, New Year's Eve, where 70 young people were arrested, charged with possession of less than an ounce of marijuana. There's some other counties in the state that if you're arrested for possession of less than an ounce of marijuana, it's a fine. There's no jail time. Here in Bartow County, there is jail time. So would you like to see any, if you would share your opinions on legalization of medical marijuana, recreational marijuana, and just how it's treated in this state?
This is a hot topic, as you know. And the typical Republican answer is that the candidates have to say that they are against marijuana legalization because it's considered to be a liberal philosophy and a Democratic Party way of doing business. But as I said earlier on, I will tell you the truth, the way I see it, and if you like it, you do, and if you don't, you don't. I support legalizing marijuana in Georgia because it's no worse than alcohol, probably less dangerous than alcohol, and people can get marijuana whether the state likes it or not. It really isn't difficult to get marijuana and smoke it if you choose to, as long as you don't go out on the streets. And I don't think we need to criminalize it. I keep thinking about this, and I keep coming up with the same conclusion. There is no reason to criminalize marijuana. So I would endorse supporting the decriminalization in Georgia of marijuana possession.
Okay. You spoke on your website, and during your opening statement, you spoke about companies moving to Georgia,
uh-huh,
and also your desire when you move to this country. Our current governor has said Georgia's open for business, and a number of companies have moved to Cartersville during his terms.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are some who feel that the wages may not be keeping up with the cost of living, shelter, child care, medical care. As a legislator, is that an issue that you would address in terms of employees earning enough to afford just the basic necessities of life?
One of the problems that we have is that everything is costing more all of the time. Groceries, gas, restaurant food, newspapers, furniture, I mean, everything imaginable is going up. It's rare that anything goes down. Probably electronics, computer equipment drops periodically, but you only buy one of those every few years. My idea is to recruit manufacturers to come and do business in Georgia, specifically by changing the tax code related to where they obtain their components. One of the problems with manufacturing in the United States is that manufacturers mostly, or some of, I don't know the percentage, but many of them just assemble components purchased in Asia, and they put them together and they say made in USA, when in fact they really aren't. They're really Asian products. I want to encourage essentially cascading manufacturing, where the state of Georgia will make the, if you produce a product in the United States, in this instance in Georgia, then you do not pay income taxes on the profits if the components are also manufactured in the United States. And specifically, if 50% of the products come from overseas, then there'd be a 50% reduction in the taxes on the profits. I think it's a simple method to encourage manufacturers to come back to the U.S. I suspect that if this is picked up by the federal government, that even Chinese manufacturers and Asian manufacturers, and even as you can see from Kia and Toyota and some of them, they sell everything here. Americans buy everything imaginable. You can go on Amazon or on the internet, and you can find gadgets you never even knew existed. Everything is sold here, and they need to be manufactured here. And if we change the tax code, we can actually encourage manufacturers to come, in this instance, to Georgia and hopefully to the entire United States. Our governments have had a tendency to punish companies and to beat them if they don't do what they're told. But companies are typically too clever for our government, but they do respond to incentives. I'd much prefer to provide an incentive. In the same way, if you want a horse to drink, our government tries to push the horse towards the trough and gets kicked in the head a lot. Not as though it knocks any sense into our government, but nevertheless, they just keep pushing. My ideas are you walk to the other end, grab a hold of its reins, and you just lead it to the water, and it will drink it if it's thirsty. That's my basic philosophy. Give people what they want, and they will respond. Force them to do what they don't want to do, and they will spend a great deal of energy trying to figure out how not to do it.
My next question is about senior tax exemptions. Is that, I've interviewed both candidates for school board, or two of the candidates for school board, and that seems to be an issue. In fact, amongst all four of them who are going to be on the May 22nd ballot. Is that something that you would speak to other members of the legislative delegation if elected, and something that you would work towards accomplishing?
That is a hot topic for me. And I do know that in Cobb County, where I used to live, and in Cherokee County, that once you become a senior, an expression I don't really like, but nevertheless, when you're 65, you're classified as a senior, that you get 100% tax exemption of the school taxes on your property taxes. But not so in Bartow County. I would like to propose and push legislation that the entire state of Georgia, that if you're a senior, you do not pay property taxes for schools, or for the school part of your property taxes after 65 when you're a senior, because you've paid them your whole life. And at 65, most people have limited income, and then it becomes a real struggle to pay those taxes. Senior citizens have very few job opportunities. If they're forced to go out to work, essentially it's like a funnel. As you get older, the funnel gets narrower and narrower until there just aren't any jobs offered. So they have to husband their money very carefully, and I think it's appropriate that they do not pay school taxes across the entire state.
What do you see as the number one issue facing this area? You told me of some of the challenges that you're going to take on if elected, but what do you see as our biggest issue here in Bartow County?
I think that probably the biggest issue is controlled growth. I like to see growth of incomes along with the growth of just population. The population is from Cobb County has started to move north because of the impossible traffic now in Atlanta. And there are, as you know, they're about to open a new toll road on 75. And it will help for about 2 days. And then there'll be traffic gridlock. 2 days I was being facetious. It will lessen traffic to some degree. And then people will think to themselves, you know what? We can move farther north because it's much more pleasant in Cartersville than it is in Kennesaw or Ackworth or Woodstock. And they'll do that, and they'll create a greater pressure on 75 because their jobs will still be in Atlanta. And traffic gridlock is a problem. Sadly, the toll roads will soon become packed because of the increased traffic, and we'll be back to where we were. What I would support is a secondary perimeter for trucks. As you know, when you drive down south, especially when you get to 575, you just start to see a lot of trucks going generally around Atlanta, which is why the 285 exit off of 75 is always backed up. I'd like to see an outer perimeter. I know there was an attempt to do one, and the people objected to it who would live near the planned route because it's essentially a not-in-my-backyard philosophy. They like the idea but not too close to them. But I'm sure there's a way to create an outer perimeter where there's very few homes, and it won't interfere, and it will push the truck traffic north of Cartersville around a very wide perimeter that all through traffic has to go on these very big freeways, probably a 16-lane freeway, a huge freeway, just to accommodate the truck traffic.
For several sessions, the General Assembly has proposed and considered religious liberty legislation. Meanwhile, Georgia business groups have consistently opposed religious liberty bills. And what are your thoughts? If elected, what would your approach be?
Well, I'm not quite clear of the question, but okay. I describe myself as an existential secularist, which you'll have to look up if you're interested. I am a practical businessman. It's my nature, and I believe in freedom of religion. I don't believe in interfering with a person's right to pray and believe in whatever God they choose. That's their business. I believe I want to serve in the legislature to fix the public's practical problems, because I'm good at that. And I have a big mouth, and I don't have any fear, and I'm old enough now that I'm not intimidated by anybody, and I speak the truth. And if I am elected to the legislature, you will hear noise. I will create massive ripples, because it's my nature, and I don't mind.
Okay. I believe I've asked you just about everything I have here. I've got lots of questions, but my goal is to ask both candidates the same questions.
Uh-huh.
Are there issues that voters or people you speak with are bringing to you? What are they telling you as you're out in the campaign trail? What do they want addressed?
Well, mostly economic problems. The cost of living is going up. Their quality of life is dropping a little bit. They do like the area. They do like living here. They mostly want to make more money. And they would like me, if I'm elected, to focus on the economic issues, which is something I'm good at. And that's broadly speaking it. One person could do just so much, but with a good positive vote and interest by the public, that's what they're going to get, a focus on business issues. And I'd like to bring up this primary thing, if I may. We have multiple elections every few years, starting off with primaries. Then we typically will have runoffs for certain races, and then we have a general election, and then on occasion we have runoffs following a general election. So there's usually at least two, sometimes three, and on occasion four elections in 1 year. We have voter fatigue. Relatively few registered voters vote in the primaries. If a voter will vote, they'll vote in the general election. And my statistics are as follows, and I happen to make a note of this. And that is, we have about 32,500 voters in the 15th district. In 2016, only 14% of them voted. One in six voted in the primary. In many races, that determined who would win in the general election, because, as I mentioned earlier, in many positions, it's just a single candidate. In the general election, 62% voted. Two out of three people voted. So there's really a strong impetus. If the public will vote, and you can look at these statistics on the Secretary of State's website, if somebody is going to vote, they'll vote in the general election. They'll vote once. So my concept is what I call cascading voting, that rather than vote for a single candidate when there's more than a single candidate for any particular position, they actually number them as if there's, so let's say there's five candidates, they will number in order of preference, 1 through 5. By doing so, they'll say, if my primary candidate doesn't win, I'd rather have the number 2, number 3, number 4, and number 5. When the ballots are counted, whoever gets the least amount of votes, is that person is disqualified. And then those particular votes for the voters that voted for that person as number 1, gets bumped up. Number 1 position is removed, so number 2 becomes number 1, number 3, number 2, and so on. Then the votes are retallied, and then you go through the sequence 2 or 3 times until somebody gets 50.1% of the vote, and then the whole that person wins. So you have a single election, and most people are happy.
Could that be changed only in one state, though? Is that more of a national issue?
No, this is particularly a state issue. What most people don't realize is that each state does whatever it wants, for the most part, unless the federal government gets in the way. But so people in Georgia's, the voting system is unique to Georgia, and there are similarities between other states. It's the same way when we get into the squabble with the presidential election, that in some states, if a presidential candidate gets the majority of electoral votes, then all of the votes in that state go to the Electoral College. In other states, they're counted per district. So even in the Electoral College, the systems are designed specific to that particular state and whatever the state legislature thinks up, which is appropriate for their state. So we can do anything we want to in Georgia. And I want to get rid of primaries because they're unnecessary, they're expensive, they are time-consuming, and they are not, in my opinion, the most democratic way of choosing a candidate to elect the public. On my website, there is a YouTube video on how this works. And if you think about it, you'll say, this is such a good idea, we need to do it. And if elected, I will push for that as well.
Are there any issues that I didn't ask you about that you want to address?
Well, we only have 30 minutes. I can go on for hours.
We have about four more left, okay. 4 minutes, that is.
Let me cover the illegal immigrants issue at the moment.
Sure.
The fundamental reason I was trying to look at why people do what they do, but the fundamental reason that people from, really the focus is on Latin America, the fundamental reason why people come here and work illegally is because of money. That's basically it. They like living at home, but they can make a lot more money in the United States, so they come here illegally. And our President Trump has proposed a $45,000 million wall, but in my opinion, and I wrote 250 articles about everything you can imagine, one of them is about the wall and how we encourage the ladder building business in Mexico by having borders. But it's really easy to fix using QR codes. QR code is a square box that can be placed on the back of drivers and Georgia driver's licenses and ID cards. And all that has to happen is an employer is given their person's ID card or driver's license. They scan using their telephone, their smartphone, they scan that QR code. It establishes an encrypted tunnel back to the government, and the government has a record of whether that person is legally entitled to work. It produces a green check mark if the answer is yes, an X, no, and a question mark if there's some discrepancy. Now, here's the trick. On that driver's license is a photograph. So when the person holds that driver's license and they're scanning it with their phone, they're looking at the person. And they'll know if that's the person standing in front of them or if that person's borrowed a license from somebody else. So this is whole problem. The national problem could be fixed for a few million dollars and not $40,000 million. So I can fix it, in Georgia at least.
We have about 2 minutes to wrap up, and I'm going to allow you to make the final statements as we end this here.
Thank you. Let me repeat how I began this meeting, this interview. When I first came to America in 1970 seeking to manufacture a product I had patented in England, I came here because the United States was the global manufacturer. Nowadays, I would have gone to China. That's the problem. When I first came to America in 1970, I was looking for America, and I was really excited. I had read about America. I used to read Newsweek cover to cover every week. I've seen all the movies. I used to watch all the American television shows. But when I came here, because I had lived in all the big cities, I had never quite found America, and I was always a little bit disappointed. And then I moved to Cartersville, and I was pleasantly surprised that I had finally found America, and it was Cartersville. We live in a wonderful community, and as a citizen of Cartersville, I will be proud to represent you as your state representative. So please vote on May 22nd for Alan Levine in the 15th District.
Thank you so much for coming in and helping to educate our listeners. And as everyone has said, vote on May 22nd.
Thank you so much.